of the Epic Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce, and I'm joined all the way this week by Lux. How are you? It's good to have you back, my friend. The good news is I think there's that vaccine going to roll out soon-ish. It's just going to take a long time for everybody to get it, right? So, and hopefully you can keep yourself healthy and not end up being sick and doesn't come back from it. So, support our podcast. They've got videos. They've got lives. They've got a Twitch stream. A very happening Discord with lots of good things going on. So please come and check. You will not be sorry. In fact, you will be very happy to come and have a chat with us, and we'd be happy to talk to you. So come on in. Come and check us out at the lotuscouncil.com. And we'll be very pleased to see you. Also, a big thank you to the people organizing the 31 Days of Christmas again this year. It is our third annual opportunity to do that. And we are participating as well. So hopefully, at this point, you've been catching the videos because they have been doing lots of great videos from all sorts of great content creators all over the internet and giving away all sorts of stuff. We are going to be giving away our Xerath Sand deck. And it is almost complete. I've been putting together sort of the final bits and pieces for the deck. Probably needs about another 5% cards. And then we'll be sleeving it up and getting it ready to give it away with a big bow a little later this month. Because, Lux, are we doing our giveaway on the 28th of December? Yep. Is that right? The 28th of December. We'll have to figure out how to do a video, Lux. So that's going to be kind of interesting. But we'll figure it out. Yeah. I got an idea. And we'll have a video and give it away to the one lucky person who has signed up. I think you can still actually sign up if you haven't already done so. Like today is actually the 7th of December. You've got like 24 days still left of the month to get your name in and maybe win a prize. So do not miss out. All right, folks. All right. Let's get going. First segment tonight. Lux, we have our garbage are great, and tonight is Ashen Fire Beast Odyssey. 6 red for a creature elemental beast. It is a 6/6 and has on it for text, for 1 red, Ashen Fire Beast deals 1 damage to each creature without flying. So, what do we think? Garbage? Or is great?
And I think this is great because notice how that ability does not say that it taps.
You're right. It does not say that it taps. So, like, what could I do with this card?
It depends on how much, like, if you have in the necessary amount of land or, like, mana in general, you could literally just burn out the entire table.
Well, yeah, you could. That's which I think is cool. And so, like audience, I think the point Lux is making here is, like, because, like, sure, you're going to kill the Ashen Fire Beast, but you can literally spend 20 mana in this thing, kill everything on the battlefield without that doesn't have flying, and just clear the battle. Like, red gets a honest to goodness board wipe here. It's expensive to board wipe, but like if you still like it's like a pyroclasm effect. Like, it cleans up a lot of mess, doesn't it, Lux?
It does.
And like one of the things that like I was talking last week on the show was like cards that in and of themselves create. Like I call them army in a can, cards that like produce a lot of value without doing a lot of additional work. And this sort of Ashen Fire Beast could be really useful if you're facing down decks that have got Scoot Swarmed or Assemble the Legion or like, you know, just things that make small tokens, right? So, you can do it at instant speed at any time. So if your opponent resolves a Phylath, you tap 2 mana, kill all the plant tokens before they can make a land drop, and you've like now successfully killed all those tokens before he can go and put counters on them. I think the card is actually quite good. Now that's the top end of your curve, isn't it, Deluxe?
Yep.
Like 6 reds, that's a steep cost, but like you get a lot of ability to be impactful on the board, not just through its attacking. And like sure, like you could like spend like 10 mana, burn out anything that's a 5 or less, and then use your Ashen Fire Beast to attack. But like I still think like you get a lot of value of just killing small things. You kill you kill all the mana dorks, you kill all the, you know, you kill all the little things, kill them dead, burn them out of the way. So you now your big things don't get chump locked. I think I like this Fire Beast. Now it's out of Odyssey, so it's old. So I mean, strictly speaking, should it be something we play in our format for the way we build decks? No, but I guess 27 cents, folks. Like, this card's not going to be. This card's not bad. This card is perfectly reasonable, and it's a little steep, but, you know, if you're playing casual EDH, you're probably going to get there. And this is the sort of jank people are going to be like, dude, where did you find that card? Right, Lux? Like, that's going to be part of the appeal here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, this is just, it's fun. This is a fun card, all right? So, Lux, where do you come down? Good? Is this garbage or is this great?
It's great.
Yeah, I'm on the same side as you here. I like this one. This is a good one. I think it's great. We're in. All right, so here we go. That's it. Epic Experiment Podcast gives the Ashen Fire Beast 2 thumbs up for being in. All right. Segment 2. So with the holiday season fast approaching, I don't know if anyone's noticed, the calendar is marching towards Christmas. And it's the time of year where people give away gifts. And one thing you might have encountered is you might have relatives of yours, people you love, that are maybe asking you, like, what do I get you for Christmas? And that's a really good question, right, Lux? Like, do you get that one at the store when you're in the store? Do you have people coming in who know nothing about Magic asking, what do I get my son or my nephew who plays Magic?
And I actually have several times.
Yeah, there's lots of things. And the temptation, I think, is just to point them towards more packs, right? Is that sort of like, that's sort of the starting point?
One, ever since they discontinued the intro decks and booster packs and singles, so mainly what I suggest.
Yeah, and I have a different perspective on this. So obviously you can give people packs, or as somebody posted in our Discord today when I mentioned it, like a whole booster box, which booster box is pretty cool. If you're a 15-year-old kid and you're getting into Magic for the first time, and someone gets you a booster box, like, that's pretty cool. Even for me as an adult, getting a booster box of cards is pretty fun. So that's one option. Like, don't get me wrong. But, like, here in Canada, a booster box is, like, north of $150 Canadian in lots of places. I mean, not everyone. And there are places where you can get them at closer to cost. But, you know, generally speaking, you walk into a retail vendor and you buy to get a box of stuff. And it's going to cost you $150 at least to get, you know, just a draft set of whatever set you want to play. So that may not necessarily, but the booster box may not be feasible, but I'm also of the opinion that one thing, you know what, as a Magic player, I don't need, Lux, is actually what? More cards. I don't need more cards. I've got more cards around me that I know what to do. So, like, if people ask me for gifts, like, what sort of gifts would you like, Bruce? I'm like, well, these are some other things that you might be able to acquire. And you can get them usually pretty cheap. Like, people aren't shelling out boat tons of money. Because I always feel guilty. Like, when people ask me and I say, well, you know, how about this, that, other thing? I'm very cognizant of how much money I'm asking them to spend on my behalf. Like, right? Like, I kind of feel like if they're think enough of me to give me a gift, that's lovely. But I also don't want them to spend a fortune on me because, you know, I'm able to buy these things on my own. But it's kind of a nice treat to get something I could get on my own, given to me by somebody else. So, I mean, cards are one thing. Like, obviously, you can get your Magic player cards. You can get the booster packs. You can get them a fancy single if you want. But there's lots of other things you can get. And I call them Magic-adjacent things. Things that get used by Magic players all the time, but may not necessarily be cards. So, ready to talk yourselves through some of these things there, Lux? Lux, are you ready to go through this?
Did you not hear me?
No, we must have cut out there for a second, but that's okay.
Yeah,
you ready to go?
Yep, let's get right into it.
All right, so the number one thing that every Magic player needs is what? After you get your cards, what do you need, Lux?
Storage, of course.
Yeah, someplace to put your stuff. And, like, it's really, really easy to, like, forget that you got to have someplace to put all your cards. And so storage is actually really, really key. So if you're, depending on like what sort of collection you have, you might be asking for something like a BCW box. Like a BCW box, they're like white cardboard boxes, and they look like anything from like a pizza box, is like at their biggest, to like shoebox size, to like a long, narrow row of cards that you can carry around with you. And you can use them just as a general storage place for large amounts of cards. So BCW boxes are pretty good. They're usually pretty cheap. Do you know what they go for at your store there, Lux?
Yeah, I think we have some of those. We have empty in a fat packs, and we also have empty in a pre-release kits.
Okay, so I was going to ask you about the fat packs in a second. Like BCW boxes, like what do you say is the most common size people buy? Do they buy like a shoebox size, a pizza box size, or do they buy something smaller?
No, sometimes they buy in the shoebox, and other times they buy what we call the footlong.
Right. That's like a long, narrow one, is about 12 inches long. Gotcha. Now, the fat packs, these are something people forget a bit. But fat pack boxes make great storage items. And you can often get them as castaways. Like people like open the stuff, bust the packs, take the land out, whatever. And they don't really ever use the box again. So you might be able to find boxes of for old fat packs just lying around at a store. Now, what do you sell fat packs for? Like empty fat pack boxes at your store for?
And empty fat pack boxes, we usually sell them for about like $5.
Yeah. So if you're someone looking to get like to buy some storage for your kid or your young Magic player, like a cool fat pack box that travels real nice. Like let's be real, like they're pretty nice boxes, and they travel really well. They're pretty sturdy. They have attractive art on the box top. It looks like a pretty nice box, really. And so I started to think, like, that's for $5. Like, you're doing pretty well. Like, I don't think that's a bad investment for somebody. You could obviously buy them a deck box if you're looking. And those can be expensive, from like the real expensive stuff to like just simple plastic, deck boxes if somebody has a particular deck they want to sleeve up. Or if you're just looking for something generalized, it's like a box of Tupperware. And those that you could buy those at like a dollar store or whatever for, pretty cheap. And like I keep a lot of my decks in Tupperware boxes. Like I have two Tupperwares that I have like 6 or 8 decks in each one. Just they're ready to go whenever I need them, and they're safe and they're waterproof, and as long as I don't throw them around, they're just fine, right? So any other storage ideas that people may have forgotten about?
Yeah, well, there's also empty package boxes, like the ones that you can reseal.
Oh yeah, that's true. You forgot about those. Yeah, that's another option. Or like, what do those sort of go for at your store?
And sometimes they go for in between 3 and 5.
Yeah. So again, keep people's costs at a reasonable price. Which is kind of the name of the game, right? So that's kind of key. And I like having Lux here because Lux like deals in this stuff. Like he's in a store regularly buying and selling this sort of stuff for customers. So he knows what he's talking about here, folks. So all right. So after we have storage box, like we used to as kids in the playground, where you turned your card sideways acting with a gray ogre, like those days are long gone. But so people are going to buy sleeves. If someone were to come into your store, what advice would you tell them?
Honestly,
and of course, there's always what do they put on the back. So like Dragon Shields are very nice. Like I like them. They're good. I don't actually have many Dragon Shields. I don't think. I think most of my stuff is an Ultra Pro. If I think about it. But no, like absolutely. So please, like sleeves are great, but you gotta do your homework. Make sure your player is uses that particular brand. Sleeves are another great option, particularly 100 at a time, since you're playing Commander, you know, like a good player should. No 60 card decks for us, no 75 card decks. We're playing hundreds, and that's it. Also, dice are another great one. That is a great option for somebody. Now, I know there's lots of like dice you can get if you open pre-release kits and stuff, and if you're like me, like a lot of my dice are, you know, scavenged out of my pre-release kit. I make sure to keep them. And I kind of like the fact that in the last couple of years, they've increased the size of the D20s to being larger. Like they're kind of almost the size of a ping pong ball now, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
They're kind of nice because they're a little more visible, which doesn't sound like much. But does your store sell like the extra any dice like out of pre-release kits and stuff?
And it just depends on if we happen to come across any that have been left behind after like tournaments or stuff.
Yeah. So they're another option, but you know, at the very least, if you're opening pre-release kits, like, or you buy them a pre-release kit, they come with a dice. You can use that. I think there's one in the bundles as well too. So you have that sort of option as well. So dice are another great option. People always need them. If you can't get them at a store at a price as you like, the dollar store usually has dice too. You can find like generic bicycle dice that is like, you know, would be used for like the bicycle card company that makes cards, and they also make dice. So you can get playing dice for a song too if you need them. Playmats. Playmats are always an option, right there, Lux.
And honestly, I can't even imagine the game without using a playmat anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of the same way. I'm now growing very accustomed to having my playmat. The one I have here is getting a little ratty, and I may have to replace it before too long. But I've got a few others kicking around. But you can find some beautiful playmats with all sorts of great art. That's what floats your boat. And they usually don't cost that much. Like they're a pretty reasonable purchase for somebody. What else? Like, what does a playmat go for at your store? Is it like $15 or so?
And it actually goes for $10.
Wow, that's pretty good. Here in Canada, a little bit more, but that's okay. So playmats are always a nice option, nice touch. The only thing I would caution you with playmats is that you check to make sure that they would be like most players, if they've played a long time. Probably got more than a few hanging around. Like I know I've got 3 or 4 playmats that like I don't really use that much. So I mean, like when this one I have out ends up getting a little ratty, it needs to go. I've got replacements already, but maybe your young player doesn't have too many playmats, or maybe want a second for to share with a friend or something like that. But playmats make great guests for people. They're a nice, convenient price point, nice convenient size, and they're very, very useful. For helping to maintain people's cards and making sure that they are in good shape. There's always the option of buying like Magic the Gathering clothes, and there's lots of it out there. I don't actually own too much of it. I have like a card sphere shirt, but that's about all I've got. But you can buy lots of cool stuff out there if you look a little bit on the internet. I know Cedric Phillips has a cool line of Magic apparel that you can get into and order and give away to people. So that's a really cool option too, to give away some stuff. Have you seen any cool Magic the Gathering like, clothes that you would perhaps point our audience to there, Lux?
And actually my store has a few, and then we have a couple of shirts racks, and there's some guild symbol in shirts, and there's in those in a, I'm not sure how to describe them. And honestly, I would have to show you what I'm talking about, because I can't really describe it.
Fair enough. Maybe someday you could send us a picture. We could post it up on our Twitter and let people see what's kicking around your store. It's cool. So clothes are pretty neat things, and there's lots of people that make really cool Magic the Gathering clothes that you can get yourself into. So yeah, by all means, like if that's something that interests your player, by all means, like that's a great option. There's always also the option of people who are maybe a little bit more enfranchised in the game, just get them really cool prints of art from cool artists and do some cool things. And like we've been really spoiled with some of the new secret lairs coming out with all sorts of cool art that you can get and maybe get made up as prints to be mounted on the wall or in their playroom or wherever they happen to be, you know, doing stuff. I actually think the idea of art is got more and more is more and more appealing to me every year as I play the game, because like I actually don't want that many more cards. I have more cards than I could ever use in my basement here. Like I'm looking around at the number of boxes within eyesight, and there's like 4-5 boxes in eyesight, not to mention the hundreds of cards lying around my tabletop here. So like I don't need cards, but you know, a nice piece of art might really appeal to me. So so lots of cool stuff. Like whether it's basic land art print, or if you have a particular artist that you really dig, So there's definitely some cool art. I know, for instance, like Seb McKinnon has got a lot of cool art that's out there and that people are excited for. Maybe you can get some of those as prints. Something like like even if something as derpy as like Prismatic Piper from Commander Legends, you'd probably get that as a print. It looks pretty cool. Like it looks pretty neat to see. Or you got like Animatu, who's out there, and like that's pretty wild. Like there's a lot of cool, art done by Seb McKinnon, but lots of other great artists that are in the game. So, oh, that is cool. Wow, when in doubt, junk them out. That is funny. I like that. We'll put that in the Twitter. I like that. When in doubt, junk them out. Love it. That's good. So we'll include that in the show notes if we can. Hopefully we get that.
Those are some of the other kinds of charts that we have.
I like that. That's pretty cool. It's a derivative of junk about, but I like it. I'm a big fan of that. Also, it's been a long time since we've called Abzan junk. Do you remember when it was called junk still?
Yep.
Like, that's a long time ago now. Good heavens. I like it. And we also had, one of the things that I would recommend as a gift is, like, the Commander precons. And if you have a Commander player, and they're always going to be appreciative of a precon. Because I mean, they may not open it right away and alter it, but it gives them a project. So at some point they want to open something easy to play and play it, or they want to tinker with it. Commander precons are an easy entry point. Lux, anything else that I've forgotten about that people might want to get into when they're playing Magic or give away as gifts to people?
Yeah, well, you know, on certain websites like eBay, you can find those in the bulk, like singles.
Yeah, you can find bulk, like in sort of instant collection sort of idea, that are, you know, a collection of, you know, bulky cards. But if you're looking to get a young player into the game, those are perfectly playable cards. That particularly, I would say, since Return to Ravnica, there's been a lot fewer trash cards. And a lot more things that are just could be played, so you could make fun decks and do fun things without spending a lot of money. And that's kind of a nice thing with Magic. Like you don't have to spend a whole heap of money. I know lots of people want to because they want to play with the new hot cool thing. But you know, buying instant collections or buying someone else's like used collection of cards that they no longer want might be another avenue to make the game affordable and yet fun. So, absolutely.
Yeah, And of course, there's also those in the gift boxes they started bringing out the past couple of years.
That is true. Like, there's, well, they've had a number of iterations of Christmas gift boxes, but yeah, that's another great option too. That sort of comes with a storage box and stuff. Yeah. I've seen those. Are they any good?
You're thinking of different ones. I'm talking about like they have two pre-constructed decks with spin downs.
Oh,
and
right,
either
right.
Lands.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way. That's a good way to play too. Get someone into the game that way too, for sure. Yeah, I know. Excellent. Yeah, I forgot about those. One of the things, there are so many Magic products these days that, you know, it's hard to steer people in all the right places. But yeah, for sure. Pre-constructed decks like that, like the starter decks or other things, for sure. It was a lot of fun. Anyway. All right. Lots of options out there. And so please, like go and do a little bit of research. Ask a few questions of your player about like what they want. But there's lots of great things to get that doesn't necessarily mean you have to buy cards, and you don't have to spend a small fortune at the home to get everything. So, just some things like that you may want to get into. All right. I'll put a link to Real Magic Art or something like that. I think I have a website for a site that I've browsed at before. I've never shopped there, but I've browsed before for art. But I'll try to include in the show notes so that we have some of that. Make sure as a note to myself to do that. Okay. Boom. All right. Christmas gifts. Hopefully everyone gets some sweet things they want for the holidays and can continue to enjoy the game, because we'll have call time here upon us in no time flat. Can you imagine that? We're going to have call time here. Like, Christmas is in, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Then it's going to be... And it's going to be into call time, like, almost right away. Like, as soon as the new year rolls over, like, I'm going to bet there'll be previews for call time.
I honestly can't wait.
Me too. I'm excited for this. Like, I hope there's snow lands. I hope there's snow covered lands. Do you have any predictions of like what we're going to see?
Well, and I can probably see them doing, but it's not going to be in the main set, but it's still going to be a reprint, because recently, they started doing non-standard reprints in the sets. I can probably see them doing the Jocklehops.
Oh, this would be a good spot to put Jocklehops again. I don't know if they're going to put it back in the format because people don't like it because it blows up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not going to be a standard reprint, but it's still going to be a reprint.
Yeah. No, for sure. I could see that, for sure. I could see call time. They slip it in here somewhere, particularly if it's snow-covered stuff. I can see them bringing back the twins, like Rowan and the other one, Will Kenrith. I can see them coming back here with Garrick in tow. Like, they spent that whole Throne of Eldraine block or set, a year ago, building up these two twins, and then only to have them disappear for another year. Feels like it's time to bring them back, and make them part of the story again, rather than just sort of also Rands. So I can see them. Go ahead.
And another card that I could possibly see them reprinting, but I really hope they don't, is most likely going to be Winter Orb. I really hope this doesn't.
I don't think that one's coming back.
That one needs to be have every single copy of it revoked and just throw it into a trash can.
I don't know about that, but that's a hot take. So that's the quote of the week, folks. Winter Orb is fit for the trash can, says Lux. All right, but no, I agree. I don't think we're going to reprint Winter Orb. I think what it does, it promotes enough undesirable play patterns that they're not going to be too keen to bring it back. But I could see it maybe as some sort of like promotional thing in the collector boosters or something in the new extended art or some sort of format. So, but yeah, I hope it doesn't make like a overly apparent reappearance, because that would make for a very miserable standard format, I think. I think it'd be very miserable. All right. So, should we move on to some Dominaria?
Yeah, let's get into it.
So it's been many, many weeks since we've been to Dominaria, folks. And last time we were talking about Dominaria, we talked only about the uncommon legendaries that were printed and there were a lot of them. I think there was like 16 or 17. And so today we'll go through rares and mythics, mostly because I got tired of talking about the Commander Legends. There are so many Legends and Commander Legends, we could literally talk about them from now until probably the end of January. So we'll circle back to some more Commander Legends in a bit, but like, I wanted to take a break. It was too much. Lux, like, it was too much. There are too many. Like, good lord. Tried to build anything with Commander Legends, man? Lux. Uh-oh.
Yep. There we are.
Oh, there we go. I was just asking, have you had a chance to build anything with Commander Legends cards yet?
And no, because I can't seem to find any boosters of it.
Really? Oh, I found a few here, which is good. Like, I mean, not the collector's booster stuff, but just the regular draft stuff. But there's so many commanders, it's unbelievable. I don't know how people are ever expected to be able to stay on top of it all. But anyway. So we're going to go back to Dominaria tonight and giving us a break from Commander Legends and just talking other stuff. So let's go through some of these commanders. There's a lot of the cool commanders in this set. So first off, number one deck by a long shot is Muldrotha the Grave Giant. And if you're not familiar with Muldrotha, you should probably be familiar with her. So she's 3 black, green, blue. So 6 mana for a 6/6 legendary creature. Elemental Avatar, and during each of your turns, you may play a land and cast a permanent spell of each permanent type from your graveyard. So it's like kind of like feels like you're playing Dredge when your opponents like resolve this card and have got a stocked graveyard. It is crazy, just crazy. Very popular, very powerful. I find it limiting in some senses. Like, I tried to play Muldrotha, but it struggles in some respects, doesn't it? Lux, have you ever faced down Muldrotha?
And I actually have several times.
What strategy can you employ if you're playing against Muldrotha to try and neutralize it to some effect?
That's a hard one, because obviously it's none of the strategies that you've seen me want to employ.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'll be honest, the only way I've managed to successfully, well, there are two ways I've successfully managed to fight on Muldrotha deck, and that is, the first one is to eliminate their graveyard. Like, if you eliminate their graveyard, you can often get enough, like, stay ahead of them, that you can, you know, leverage that to a win. Or, you have to kill Muldrotha so many times that it's not feasible for them to play it without, you know, essentially spending their whole turn and all their mana to cast Muldrotha. Because if you allow the Muldrotha player to untap with a pile of mana and like and a stocked graveyard, like the nightmare is never going to end. It's never going to end. You're going to get Ravenous Chupacabra'd all day. All your things will be dead. You're just going to get smashed. Right, Lux? Like, you're just going to get smashed by the thing.
And I still have nightmares about that first match.
Yeah, like there's a reason it's a very popular commander is because it's so powerful. It's just such an obvious powerful like engine staple to the card. Next you have Jota, Archmage Eternal, which is kind of it's a fun card. It's five color commander. Even though its casting cost is 1 blue, red, white. So the reason it's 5 colors is because it's activation cost. You can spend Wooburg, so it's white, blue, black, red, green, and you can now cast any spell from your hand. Like, instead of paying the mana cost, you're spending Wooburg, and Jota vomits whatever ridiculousness is in your hand onto the battlefield. So this deck is, you know, 5 color good stuff, where you just play all the good things and just smash your opponents. How have you faced this deck yet? Their Lux.
I have not. In fact, I have never seen him in play before.
Oh, I have a friend who plays Jota, and it is infuriating. Because you know if he's got cards in hand and mana untapped, he's just going to start launching haymakers at you. So you need to get him dead or take Jota off the field fast. Because if he can untap, you're going to get it. So, yeah. Jota's got 2,300 decks. Again, very still a popular commander by any measure. And very powerful. Plays with things like Fists of the Sun and stuff like that. Very good. Very good card. Annoying as all heck, I find, but very good. Then we have Joyra, Weatherlight Captain with 2,200 decks. And she's all about playing artifacts. Every time you cast a historic spell, you draw a card. So she's a draw engine on a creature as you're in your command zone. And so you have access to your card draw almost all the time. Oh my goodness. So, you face Joyra down?
No. And honestly, and I'm going to tell you this, Moldrotha is literally the only Dominaria legend that I've ever faced.
Oh man, you're missing out here. So, shout out to Nick, who's in the Lotus Council Discord with us. He plays a Joyra Weatherlight Captain that if you allow it to get his wheels spinning, look out, it's gonna go wild. So Joyra is also very good. Marwyn the Nurturer. This is an Elves deck, and she's very powerful. If you want to see cast big green things, Marwyn's your girl. So lots of Elves for sure. Firesong and Sunspeaker is an interesting one. 786 decks. Because it was a BioBox promo. Do you remember that, Lux?
And I actually do. And I remember there were a couple of people that actually got more than one copy of that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's a little bit trickier to locate. It's an interesting Boros effect. But it gives your spells lifelink. And whenever you gain life, it deals damage. So, it's kind of like a weird feedback loop. Anyway, cool card. I've seen it in action. This plus Blasphemous Act. No, Star of Extinction was wild. Star of Extinction plus this was, just the silliest thing I've ever seen. When they gained 250 life or something with it. So, I was like, wow, okay. That's ridiculous. But yeah, fun card. Not as obvious. You're not gonna find it around as frequently, but still a cool card. Teshar, Ancestor's Apostle, 720 decks of mono white historic loopy loops. That is just combo tasting. Just a combo tasting card if ever you've seen one. So loop de loops with cheap historic artifacts. Grand Lord Rada is sweet. So, 2 red green for a 3/4 with haste, and whenever one or more creatures you control attack, add that much mana in red or green until end of turn. You don't lose mana. Lose this mana as steps and phases end, which makes for you have a ramp engine tied to an aggressive creature that wants to do damage. So that's a cool card. And we won't get into too much more about it because that's going to be our deck this week. But Grand Warlord Rada has got 649 decks and is pretty sweet. But I like the fact that it's not even our top five commanders in the set. And so it's kind of a little bit off the beaten path. You may not see Grand Warlord too often. Traxos, Scourge of Krug, 482 decks, is artifact monstrosity. It's mono brown, and it's every time you play a historic spell, you get to untap this thing, and it's a big old 7/7, so watch it. Shalai, Voice of Plenty, is a real pain. The Shalai is a 3/4 for 4. Right? I got it right? Mouse. There it is. 3/4 for 4 that gives you and your creatures hexproof. Which is very frustrating for your opponents. It means they got to kill Shalai first. Shalai also has a secondary ability of putting +1/+1 counters on all the creatures you control if you spend green and 4. So she's a green-white commander. Frustrating to deal with. Most often, though, gets played in the 99, I would say. You agree, Lux?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I've seen her lots in the 99, not so often as the Commander. The Bond Dean of Iteration is like Panharmonicon for Wizards. So if you play a Wizard, so for one and a blue, you got a 2/1 Wizard, legendary creature, human Wizard. If a Wizard entering the battlefield under your control causes a triggered ability or permanent, you can a permanent ticket trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. That's like Panharmonicon for Wizards. And so you play mono blue Wizards. Pretty simple, right, Lux? Like, what do you? It's encouraging you to play Wizards. We have Ariel, Knight of Windgrace. So 2WB for a 4/4 human knight, and it plays in Knight Tribal. And again, strong card, fun deck. If you're in a black white knights, that's good. That's good fun for you. Lyra Dawnbringer is pretty cool. It's so 3WB for a 5/5 with flying, first strike, lifelink, and other angels you control get +1/+1 and have lifelink. So this is like Angel Tribal usually, how this looks, and is a pretty fun card. I'm just looking through the EDA Gretsch page, and there's like all these angels that are just like the best things you could do with white mana. Like, come on, Gisela the Broken Blade, Archangel of Thune, Abyss's Angel of Hope, Resplendent Angel, Sephara Skyblade. Like, these are all the best. These are like the who's who of angels, right? Good stuff. I like it. Boltani is lands matters often in the 99 of things, but could be a lead singer. Mono, so 4GG for a legendary creature, elemental avatar with reach and trample, and the 0/0. But Boltani, Yavimaya's avatar gets +1/+1 for each land you control and each land card in your graveyard. And for 1GG, return 2 lands you control to their owner's hands and return Boltani from your graveyard to your hand. So, Boltani is seems to be like a difficult to remove commander that is just going to, you know, like you can almost circumvent the commander tax by returning lands to your hand and getting it back. So anyway, seems good. It's got a couple hundred decks. How many? 307. Naru Meha, Master Wizard. We're playing more Wizards. This one copies a spell. But for 2BB, and you may copy a sorcery or instant spell and choose new targets, and other wizards get +1/+1. So it's a lord, it's a fork. Sure, whatever. It seems good. I'm not too worried about it. Now we're getting into like ones that I would say don't get played very often. Evra, Halcyon Witness is a funky one where you trade your life total for Evra's power, so you can like, it's pretty interesting. Like it can be a very swingy card, but for 4WB and the chance to have my life total get wrecked because I swapped it with my creature feels bad. Squee the Immortal is goblins and is more goblins and more goblins, so yep, it's all goblins. It's a goblin deck and away we go. We have Kazarov Stengir Pureblood, which is a Rakdos card, which is interesting. 5BB for a 4/4 flying legendary creature vampire. Whenever a creature an opponent controls is dealt damage, put a +1/+1 counter on Kazarov Stengir Pureblood. And then 3 and a red, Kazarov deals 2 damage to target creature. So it can pump itself. It's okay. You haven't seen this one. Have you even seen this one in play, Lux?
And sadly, it's one of those cards that I just had never come across.
I have never seen this one either, and I'm wondering if it's like, why not? Like, it seems okay. Like, I don't think it would go in every deck, but once in a while, you could play it as a piece of jank, put it in your deck, do something silly with it. I don't know. It seems good. And the fact that if you can like generate a lot of mana because you're in black and you have a Crypt Ghast or something, then like maybe you could like kill a bunch of creatures dead with that activated ability. So it seems interesting. Just, I don't know. It's got 119 decks and it's probably for a reason. Demon Lord Belzenlock, 6-mana, 6/6 demon. Flying Trample, when Demon Lord Belzenlock enters the battlefield, each exile card at the top of your library, you exile a non-land card, then put that card into your hand. That card is in converted mana cost is 4 or greater. Repeat this process. And Demon Lord Belzenlock deals 1 damage to you. Cool card. Again, I've seen it in the 99. Never seen it as the lead singer of a deck. Just haven't seen it. I think this lends itself to a really sweet theme deck, though, with like demons, because this was the last one that Liliana had to slay to free herself from her pact with the demons, right, Lerlux? Remember that part?
Yep.
So you could build a fun like thematic deck around Belzenlock and those other demons to try and tell the story of the four demons and maybe put some Lilianas in there with it. Like, I think it could be kind of fun. So it's a cool deck. I mean, it looks interesting. But Torgar, Famine Incarnate, is you want to sack things, drain your opponents for life. It's kind of neat because it's got a cost reduction mechanic on it. You can sacrifice creatures to make it cheaper to cast because it's 8 mana for a 7/6. But yeah, you're making people sack half their life, which is pretty fun. Darigaz is a Jund colored dragon, and it's a big old dragon, and it does work, but it's a big old dragon. Like, so not exciting particularly, but good fun. We have Josuvetch. Josuvest. It's one you're gonna kick, make a lot of zombie tokens, and away we go. Nyambi with 44 decks is this is the one from the precon of some sort. You can search your deck for a Teferi Timebender. I'm thinking you're not building this card. And Zahid is just a Mahamoti Dejin with a casting cost. You can cheat it out. And Varric's Bladewing. We're not playing Varric's Bladewing because there are 6 Varric's Bladewing decks. So. Lots of cool commanders here. I've built a number of these, I think. Like, I've built with Shalai. I've built with Lyra. I've built with Multani. I don't think I have them anymore, but I've certainly built with them before. So, lots of great cards. Lots of fun things to do with them. All right. So, we're moving to segment 4. Lux, I'm going to turn the table over to you. We have Rada's deck. Talk us through Rada.
Well, and when I was building this deck, and I was trying to think of a good strategy for Rada, and I was thinking, why not have a deck that can literally summon itself while also punching your face in?
Seems like a good premise. So how did you get there? What did you do?
Well, for starters, I mainly looked at the mana base, not just lands, but also, mana dorks, mana rocks.
True enough. So let's have a quick peek at this list. So, all right, talk me through this. Let's start with your planeswalkers. What are these planeswalkers, and what's the game plan behind them?
Well, for starters, and I think we have Domri Anarcha Bolas, and his +1 is an add a red or a green.
I think the two there is. The key is it can't be targeted. It can't be countered. I mean, that's the thing. To me, is more important. Like this deck, when you talk your way through it, you'll notice there's lots of ramp, but it's you don't want your stuff getting countered, right?
And honestly, you don't.
Yeah. So Domri's good. I'm talking Chandra. What's the plan with Chandra here?
Hold on. My page crashed.
It's okay. So, yeah, Chandra, Torch of Defiance, and we have Xenagos the Reveler, and Nissa who Shakes the World are the other 3 planeswalkers in this deck for various reasons. So while Lux is loading his page again, I'm just going to turn quickly to the artifacts, which are less exciting, but nonetheless important. So Renegade Map, Sol Ring, Arcane Signet, Gruul Cluestone, Gruul Locket, and Hedron Archive are all like that's a mana ramp package that is fairly solid. It's going to get you where you need to go. And the other artifacts are equipment. So you're playing Blackblade Reforged, you're playing Loxodon Warhammer, you're playing Fire Shrieker, because this deck wants to like this one wants to KO people. Like when you if you can connect, you want to KO somebody. So you want to you want the big damage, you want the big damage stuff to knock them out of the game. The last one here is Lifecrafter's Bestiary, which is a kind of a useful utility card that like lets you draw a card. It kind of like plays a little bit like a Great Henge, but like way scaled back, which is like almost fair because Great Henge is kind of nuts. But you get a scry at the start of your upkeep, and then if you cast a creature spell, you can pay a green and draw a card, which you know is kind of handy in a deck with lots of creatures. Anyway, talk us through Chandra, Torch of Defiance, Relux.
Like one of her plus ones, of course, is add red and red to your mana pool. But
right, more ramp.
But of course, that's not the only part. Her minus three is Chandra Torch of Defiance deals 4 damage to target creature. And her ultimate, which is minus 7, you get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell, this emblem deals 5 damage to target creature or player.
That's a problem. That's a problem. I saw that one this weekend, and I was fortunate enough to take it off the battlefield, so it didn't do that. So, yeah. Tell us Xenagos. What's the idea with Xenagos?
Plus one is add X mana in any combination of red and or green to your mana pool, where X is the number of creatures you control.
I notice a recurring theme here, Lux. Your deck wants to ramp and ramp hard. Is that true?
Yep.
So, and then Nissa Who Shakes the World. This is the Nissa from Zendikar. No, sorry, from War of the Spark. And tell us, like, what's her big selling feature?
It's her main selling feature is mainly that static where whenever you tap a forest for mana, add an additional green.
Yup. So this is a big old mana doubler. And for $4, you can't go wrong. All right. And then so you're going through your creatures. Your creature looks pretty good. You got some dorks. We got, you know, Elvish Mystic, Llanowar Elves, Gilded Goose, stuff like that. But then we start getting into some things that are kind of spicier. So let's go up to the top of the pile here. We go and find, you got a Dragon Lord of Tarka. You got an Avatar, Avenger of Zendikar. You get things like Phylath, an Aggressive Mammoth, and Ravager Worm. Like this is your end game, right there, Lux?
Yep.
Like you're looking to smash face with these things, push yourself over the top. Obviously, I think the big one here that you want is Dragon Lord of Tarka. Atarka is just an amazing card to come down. It comes down, it probably kills something dead. And if you can swing with it, like there's very little that's in the skies that can tussle with it in any sort of meaningful way. So this card is the real deal. And as somebody who's cast is more than his fair share of Atarkas, like, yeah, this thing is real. This thing's legit. Do you have an Atarka in a deck anywhere, Lux?
And I actually do.
Like, the card is a house. This deck also has Thorn Mammoth, which is something people forgot about from Throne of Eldraine. But for 5 green, you get a 6/6 that, like, it just fights and keeps fighting all day long. So, yeah, that's a thing. Any other cool cards here you want to talk about there, Lux? You like this creature package is pretty wild.
Yeah, well, I see here, and I also happen to add an Ashen Fire Beast into the mix. Yeah, kind of breaking our rules, but I had to add it.
Well, in all fairness, it is our show, and if we can't bend our own rules for our own show, what fun is it, right? So, Ashen Fire Beast is fun. I think I kind of like the inclusion of a Scoot Swarm. I think that's a great little addition that this deck really gonna really enjoy. No, I like your creature package. The sorceries, I think, are pretty self-explanatory. At a Farseek Rampant Growth Cultivate on a Vastwood Surge, which are going to be opportunities for you to ramp. Then you also get Roast and Lava Coil as removal spells. Seem reasonable as well. Your instants are also pretty simple, aren't they?
Yep.
What do you got for instance?
Well, for starters, and I have Return of the Wild Speaker.
Yeah, that one's good. That one's a mean one. That's like, it's either overrun or it's like draw you a million cards. Like in this deck, like I think I'm like once you have creatures that are landing on the battlefield that are bigger than four mana, because like you're playing Return of the Wild Speaker on five, presumably. Which hopefully means you have at least a four mana creature on the battlefield. You're probably not drawing any fewer than like three to four cards. Like there are be very few cards you can, like you're going to be able to hit that aren't going to be at least draw you three cards. So that's pretty good, and it's going to likely draw you a whole lot more. What else you got there?
And I also added in Rampage of the Clans, which can literally be the bane of artifact decks and enchantment decks.
This is an interesting card because I don't think a lot of people are onto this tech, but I actually really like it. And it's kind of like it's a sweeper for among the hardest, you know, card types to remove, particularly enchantments. So I'm a big fan of this one. I know it's not, you know, you have Vandal Blast in format, which is one thing, but this is very different, isn't it? This is pretty cool.
Yep.
And if you blow up your own things, you don't really care even. You're like, I'm going to make 3/3s? Sure, no problem. But I think we're banking here that the 3/3s you make for your opponents are going to be things that you can deal with because you're going to be bigger. So probably a good idea to kill all those things. And then last but not least, we have what?
And of course, then I added in Atarka's Command.
Which I think is underrated, but also very good as well. So excellent. Atarka's Command. And then we have some enchantments. We have Cindervines, Colossal Majesty, Garrick's Uprising, Rhythm of the Wild, and Wilderness Reclamation. So the Uprising and Colossal Majesty are just there to draw you cards. Rhythm of the Wild has the words creature spells can't be countered, which seems good. Not to mention the riot. And then Cindervines punishes enchantments and allows you to kill things. So, yeah. And then Wilderness Wreck. Well, that's just... I kind of feel like that's like a Bruce and Lux staple now in green decks, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, we just kind of put it everywhere. It's almost as prevalent as your Cryptolith Rites, but not like I actually think because it's uncommon, it's perhaps more prevalent than Cryptolith Rites. So that's saying something. And then we got a pretty sweet mana base that I actually think looks pretty decent. Looks pretty decent. Now, Lux, help us out here. What's the selling, like what's the price tag on this deck?
We actually managed, we did a couple of switches and then the in and out and to bring the price down and of course to add a little bit more in and value into the deck. And we came out to around $96.78, just under in our $100 limit.
That's pretty good. So for $100, you can sleeve this up, sit down, and if people don't pay attention, this thing's going to smash them upside the head. And they're going to be wondering what just got them, right? Do you agree, Lux?
And I actually would.
Like, if they don't pay attention, they are going to get got by this sort of deck because they're like, yeah, green, red, derpy stuff. But green, red, derpy stuff packs an awful, nasty punch. Ooh. So yeah, $96.78. Oh, there we go, folks. $96.78. And you get yourself a deck in the door and ready to go. Pretty good. Good job, Lux. That looks like fun. I kind of like that deck. I might have to go try and build that myself.
And of course, like, what kind of commander deck would it be if it didn't have the Sol Ring and Command Tower in it?
Well, I mean, those are almost givens, right? Like, those are givens. And I kind of think, like, Arcane Signet is, like, is the third now, like, automatic inclusion that just goes everywhere. So, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Anyway, pardon me. Getting late, I guess. All right. So, if you like that deck and you want to find any of the other decks that Lux and I have brewed, you can find them on our Moxfield account at moxfield.com. Look for the username, the Epic Experiment Podcast, and you can find all of our decks there. They're all there for you to see. There is, like, a lot of them now. There's a lot of decks. So, you can find all something. So, most of them, you know, meet our $100 criteria. So, if you've got $100 in your pocket, you want to get into playing some Commander, like that, we're a pretty good place to start you off and get you started. All right, Lux. Wrap it up.
Yeah, because it's starting to get pretty late for both of us, isn't it?
It is. It is. The time has been taken away. It's been good. It's been good to have you back, I have to say. Last week was awfully lonely sitting here by myself and talking to myself. But anyway, nice to have you back. So, we are going to bring this week's show to a wrap. Always amazed how quickly it seems to buzz by. If you like what you heard, you want to, you know, connect with us on social media, please, please, please do not hesitate to do so. You can email us at theepicexperimentpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to get feedback there. We don't get a lot, but we'd love to have some more. Or you can find us on Twitter, and our Twitter handle is @epicexpcast. That's where you'd find us. We're on there all the time. So by all means, come and check us out. Obviously, we just talked about where to find our decks on moxfield.com. And if you like what you hear and in your ears, you can, you know, follow us on almost any platform that offers podcasts. We're almost on all of them. We're on iTunes. We are on Google Podcasts. We are on Spotify. We are on Amazon. We are on Podbean, thelotuscouncil.com. And on and on and on. There's a whole bunch of them. I think I've just added two more to our profile that I don't even remember anymore. But anyway, lots of places to find us. Whatever the platform is, follow, like, subscribe, whatever it is you guys need to do. We'd love to find people who are listening and like what we do each and every week. All right? So, next week, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking more Commander. We're going to have a deck. We're going to be talking probably some Commander Legends. We'll be probably talking about our deck that we've got brewed up for the 31 Days of Christmas giveaway. We got lots going on. But that's for next week. Until then, this is the Epic Experiment Podcast signing off and wishing you all the best wherever you next get to play Magic. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Have a good night.